practically immediately. He's the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows that Kal Krishnadas left him without saying a word, abandoned him to join the Bhaktataris. He was simple and gentle. But a casualty of bad association. The Lord went right to the camp of the Bhaktataris to rescue his servant. And Lord Chaitanya, amanina manadena, he taught, offer all respect to others, don't expect it for oneself. He spoke so graciously to the Bhaktataris. If it was a different incarnation, they would have been annihilated instantly. He said to them, "Why are you keeping my assistant? I'm in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, and I require my assistant. And you are also all in the renounced order of life, so you should understand. Why do you cause me pain? Give me back my servant." That's quite polite, isn't it? But they couldn't tolerate his gracious and kind appeal. And they all raged with anger, picked up deadly weapons, surrounded Lord Chaitanya. From all sides, they ran toward him to beat him, to chop him, to stab him, to cause him pain. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he's Prem Avatar. He didn't pick up his chakra. He just stood there. He has his own ways. And the weapons in their hands, they wouldn't tolerate what these Bhaktataris were doing. Suddenly, the knives, the clubs, the hatchets, whatever they were holding to kill and torture victims, they fell from their hands. Then they went into the air on their own and started chomping, piercing, and stabbing the limbs of the Bhaktataris. They were really, really confused. Their own weapons were going. They were howling, roaring, screaming, crying. Some of them were being chopped to pieces where others were running away and the women were screaming, and it was really a scene. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya grabbed Kal Krishnadas by the hair and took him with him. He saved his devotee. Lord Chaitanya, he said, at another time, he said, "Blessed is the devotee who never gives up the service of the Lord. And blessed is the Lord who, if the servant does give up that service, drags him back by the hair." Tyaktvasvatharamam charanam bhajam hadir. Once we taste the nectar of the loving service of Lord Krishna, even if we do fall away, nothing of this world can ever compare. It's just a matter of time till we have to come back. Just by Krishna's all-attractive, loving nature, he drags us back. Param drisvani vartate, that higher taste. So Kal Krishnas resumed his service, with a very clean heart to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya accepted it. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that night they came to the Payaswini River. Lord Chaitanya and his assistant bathed in that holy river and then visited the temple of Adikeshava. In the last 2 days, how many of you have been to the Adikeshava temple? How many are going tomorrow? A beautiful form of the Lord who is laying on Ananta Shesha, who is seen through 3 different altars. Very ancient deity with an ancient story, has been there for many thousands of years. When Lord Chaitanya saw the Lord in his role of a loving, pure devotee, he was overwhelmed with joy. He repeatedly bowed down, offered prayers, then chanted the holy names of the Lord. As he was chanting, he was gracefully, beautifully dancing. And all the people from all around, little by little, were coming. Utterly astonished to see the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chanting, dancing, gazing upon the Supreme Lord with ears, as hairs were standing on end, as limbs were trembling. It was a jubilant scene. In the temple of Adikeshava, Lord Chaitanya discussed with very highly advanced devotees spiritual subjects. Machchata madgata prana bodhyanta parashpara katyantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Krishna tells us in the Gita, this is real pleasure when devotees come together and share their love for Krishna with each other by discussing the teachings, the pastimes, the loving service of the Lord with each other, enlightening each other. This is the highest form of relationship. Not to get something from each other, not to exploit each other, not to enjoy various temporary thrills with each other. The deepest relationships we can have is when we enlighten each other. When we share our love for God with each other. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the temple of Adikeshava, found the 5th chapter of the Brahma Samhita. This scripture is so old, so sacred. It was practically law. And he found it in the Adikeshava temple. As soon as he began to read and hear the content of the Brahma Samhita, He was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Such transformations. As he was reading, he was crying, he was trembling, his hairs were standing on end. He was in total jubilation. Personally, the Lord copied the scripture to take it with him, to share with his devotees, and ultimately to share with the whole world. Brahma Samhita is said to be 100 chapters. Lord Chaitanya found the fifth chapter. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how this is a supreme scripture which encapsulates the very essence of all Veda, of all knowledge, of all spirituality. It reveals not only the path of perfection and how to achieve it, but the highest revelations of the spiritual world and the most inner secrets. Within the Brahma Samhita itself, it describes how it came to be. Begins with the verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Everyone together very loudly. Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva This verse tells everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains, Brahma explains, all the acharyas who are explaining, that everyone to some extent is an Ishvara, a controller. When you go by a house and you hear that's a dog. It's me. Dog wants to be the controller. This is my house. Get out from here. Yes? Otherwise, why are they barking? They want to control you by barking. This is my turf. Even I used to watch in the Himalayas monkeys. I'm not going to go into too many details since we're in Kanyakumari. It's long, long way away. But everyone wants to be a controller. The male monkey is thinking, this is my she monkey. And if somebody else comes, there's a fight. Sometimes there's a war. Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Kumara. People of the past they're either ashes, we're somewhere around here in the sea, being washed through the window, rivers, or they're the food for insects under the ground. And wealth, fame, everything. You can't hold on to it. Nothing. It all slips through our fingers, however hard we try to cling to it. But Krishna's beauty, Krishna's wealth, Krishna's strength, it is not only unlimited, it's not only forever, but it's forever increasing. Krishna's Navayovanam Cha. He's always youthful. In the spiritual world, Krishna's forever in his ripe, blooming youth, as is Sri Radharani, his eternal pleasure potency, the feminine dimension of the Absolute. So, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Through Krishna's expansions, we learn in Brahma Samhita, he's controlling universes, he's controlling time, he's controlling the laws of nature, he's controlling all material and spiritual worlds. But above and beyond that, Krishna controls everything by the sweetness and the beauty and the compassion of his love. Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller because he's all attractive. And for those who love him, he controls them through that attraction of his opulences. Sachit Ananda Vigraha. It's not that Krishna's body is just a temporary manifestation of the mode of goodness for the purpose of helping people to get knowledge and direction in life, and then that body just merges into a nothing, a formless state. The scripture says, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. His form, that beautiful, lovely form, is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who Brahma Samhita later explains, the effulgence from that eternally, supremely beautiful form is the Brahma Jyoti, or the eternal, omnipresent, omniscient light that is emanating and permeating all existence. Anadira Adira Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It's the origin of everything that exists, the cause of all causes. The Gita, in the nutshell verses of the 10th chapter, Krishna says the same thing. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Lord Brahma so concisely begins this fifth chapter with such a powerful verse that illuminates the consciousness with the very essence of bhakti. And the very essence of what Lord Chaitanya descended to give to the world. And then the Brahma Samhita goes on to explain how this scripture was written and what its purpose really is. Therein it explains, it begins at the highest place, the highest planet of the spiritual world, Gokula or Goloka Vrindavan. This is an eternal place, the eternal abode of the Lord, which is like a thousand-petaled lotus flower. It's forever. And in the whirl of that lotus flower is the abode of Lord Krishna, who has just been explained, the all-attractive one. And he resides there with his eternal pleasure potency, his female counterpart, or Sri Radha. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains Krishna as the predominator and Srimati Radharani as the predominated, supremely. But how this works is so deep and so intimate. Because by being supremely predominated, she predominates Krishna. Sri Radharani is the supreme lover. Krishna is the supreme object of love. They both eternally conquer each other by that love. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that whatever is attractive within this entire cosmic manifestation, it's only attractive because it's a spark of my splendor. In the spiritual world of Goloka, Shri Radha and Krishna are eternally performing their beautiful loving pastimes. And that same Goloka that is forever existing within the spiritual world is manifested within this world as Gokula Vrindavan. The Vrindavan that we often visit in our yatras on a geographical worldly map, it's in Uttar Pradesh, the country of India, between Agra and New Delhi. But how inconceivable that the Lord could manifest the same exact abode that's in the spiritual sky forever. So the Gokul in this world is called the manifested spiritual world. And Goloka is unmanifested because it is not visible to our mundane eyes. When Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and those who possess love of God, to the degree we have that love, when we go to Vrindavan, we're in Goloka. They are not different. But the Brahma Samhita tells us, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, when our eyes are affected by the love of our hearts, we could see the form of Shamsundar, the all-attractive, beautiful, flute-playing form of Govinda within our hearts. In feelings of separation from the Lord, we can feel His presence most powerfully. And when we go to Vrindavan, we could feel that divinity of Krishna's presence everywhere. But to the degree that love is absent, all the eyes could see is what the eyes are made out of: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And in Kali Yuga, what people do to this earth, water, fire, air, and ether make it really polluted. Some people are seeing the Yamuna flowing with nectar that's sweeter than the Amrit of the Devas. The cows and the calves and the gopas and the gopis are drinking that nectar of the water of the Yamuna, which is satiating with the fragrance of celestial lotus flowers and beyond. The waters of the Yamuna are so fragrant, unlimitedly, infinitely aromatic. And we smell sewage. What is the problem? The sewage is there. On this level. But the nectar of the Yamuna of Goloka Vrindavan is there on a deeper level. And it's not a matter of deeper means you dive further in. It means deeper devotion. So Lord Brahma is explaining how the Vrindavan in this world, the manifested Vrindavan, is non-different than the Goloka Vrindavan of the spiritual sky, which is eternally existing. And on the four sides is the area of Svetadvip, predominated by expansions of Lord Krishna in the form of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumana. And Mahashankarshan manifests himself as Mahavishnu or Karunodakshai Vishnu. Rama Svahita tells that Krishna is Rasa Bihari. He's the supreme enjoyer. He's engaging in most intimate loving pastimes with Sri Radha and all living beings of the spiritual world. Has no direct connection with material nature. Indirectly through his expansions and indirectly through her expansions, Radha and Krishna are manifesting the material existence and sustaining it. So Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer, when he intends to create the material world, through Mahashankarshan, he becomes Karanodakshai Vishnu, the Purusha avatar. And Rama Devi, or the pleasure potency of the Lord, manifests for the pleasure of the Lord as the Maya Shakti, the material energy. Mahavishnu glances upon the material energy. Within that material energy are the 24 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, the gross elements, the working senses, the objects of the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, mahatattva. But it's all in a dormant state. But when the Lord glances upon Maya Shakti, he impregnates time. That time activates everything. things start moving, things start going. And with his glance, he impregnates the cosmic manifestation of the Maya Shakti with jivas, with eternal living entities. Mamayavam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. The jivatma is part and parcel of the Supreme, or Krishna. The Brahma Samhita very, very clearly expounds Lord Chaitanya's explanation of achintya bheda bheda tattva, inconceivable simultaneously one indifference. Qualitatively, the individual soul that is giving life to ourself and every living being is non-different than God. In that sense, we are God. Qualitatively. Quantitatively, the Lord is Vibhu, unlimited, and we are Anu. We're just a part. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vidatati kaman. There is one supreme eternal, and there are many, 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 many eternals. And those many eternals are always subordinate to that one supreme eternal. So we are one with God, and at the same time, our nature is to love God as eternal servants of the Lord. And we read in Brahma Samhita the intimacy and the ecstasy that is available to all beings through that service of love. So all the jivas who are in the body of Mahavishnu from the last lifetime of Brahma, they are all manifested again within the universal creation by his glance. And manifesting within the body of Mahavishnu are innumerable universes in the form of little seeds like golden eggs. And when he exhales, they come out of his body and become the universes within the cosmic manifestation. Then that Mahavishnu, he expands himself as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu to enter into each and every one of the universes. Mahavishnu is the supersoul of the cosmic manifestation. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is the supersoul of every particular universe in that cosmic manifestation. And then Garbhodakshayi Vishnu expands himself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu to be the supersoul in the heart of every living being. That Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is laying in an ocean of milk in a place in this universe called Svetadvipa. And from his navel sprouts a golden lotus flower. On the lotus flower, Atmabhu, Brahma, is born. Lord Brahma, by the will of the Lord within his heart, has a deep inclination to create. But he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what to create. He doesn't even know where he is. All around him is nothing but darkness. And there's no one else in the universe except him. How would you like to be in that position? To be the only person in the entire universe, and it's pitch dark. There's no matches, no torches or flashlights, just pitch dark. There's no one to talk to. Alone. In order to do big service, you have to be willing to go through a lot. Great things do not come cheaply. So Lord Brahma was, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's going up, he's climbing up and down the lotus flower, the stem, trying to somehow or other figure out, who am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to do? And eventually he comes back onto the lotus. And Brahma Samhita tells that the original goddess Saraswati, she speaks to Brahma. The original Saraswati is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, the eternal consort of the Lord. She tells him to practice spiritual association by chanting a mantra. And she gives him a mantra composed of 18 divine syllables, which begins with the Karma Bija. Brahma accepts that mantra and meditates deeply on chanting. And through the grace of that mantra and the grace of the Lord within his heart, he developed an attraction for Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, and wanted to serve him, and wanted to please him. The Lord reciprocates. And through the song emanating from Krishna's divine flute came the Gayatri Mantra, the mother of the Vedas. The flute song of Krishna, which was filled with all knowledge, all realizations, entered into the ears of Brahma, into his heart. He chanted that mantra with his mouth and meditated on it. That mantra is the Kam Gayatri Mantra. The Kama Gayatri Mantra reveals the very essence of the most intimate, loving pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. Through Brahma's sincerity to serve and his constant recitation and meditation on the mantra, Goloka Vrindavan was revealed to Lord Brahma, the spiritual world. From the total bewildered darkness of desperation, he was now actually seeing Krishna's abode. What he was seeing, what he was feeling, what he was loving, he explains and reveals to the world through the next verses of Sri Brahma Samhita. Let us chant the next together. Chintamani prakata sadma sukalpa vriksha Lakshavrate susurabhira vipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra satasambrahma sevyamanam Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma, the original father of all living beings, the original spiritual master of our universe, is sharing with us what Krishna is revealing to him. Chintamani prakata sadmas. The spiritual world. Every grain of dust is chintamani. More precious than any jewel in this world or even in the heavenly abodes. Why does anybody want a jewel? Diamond, pearl, ruby, emerald. Because the jewel gives us a hope that it's going to satisfy some desire. Yes? Otherwise, why do we want it? Because they're considered valuable in the eyes of humans. Because they can fulfill our desires. But they can't save us from old age, disease, and death. And they can't even fulfill any of our desires, really. Because really, what we desire is happiness. And jewels just don't make you happy. Love makes you happy. Therefore, Prema Bhakti, Lord Chaitanya said, is the Purushartha Siromani. It's the crest jewel. The ultimate jewel of life is love of God. Chintamani means every element of the spiritual world under the jurisdiction of Baladev, the first expansion of Lord Krishna, can fulfill our every desire. The Brahma Samhita tells us this Kam Gayatri mantra that Brahma was chanting. For a pure devotee, it fulfills every desire. But for a pure devotee, there's only one desire. To please Krishna, to please the devotees, to please every living being, to love, to serve. That's the only desire. This is the consistent prayer among the great souls. Prahlad. Kingdom greater than his father or his grandfather or his great-grandfather. And then he saw Lord Vishnu, Prishni Garbha. And Vishnu said, I will give you your benediction. Hari Bhakti Sudodaya tells that Dhruva said, I don't want it. I don't want anything in this world. Chintamani prakara shadma sukalpa vriksha. Every tree. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, everything is connected to love. Because that's really the only thing anyone truly wants. To love and be loved. The soil, the earth, the sand, the air, the trees, the cows, everyone, everything. Whatever you desire, they fulfill all of our desires because they eternally increase your love for Krishna, your love for each other. Well, there's unlimited gopis, and each gopi is more beautiful and thousands and thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune. And the Kamadhenus, the cows, a Kamadhenu in this world gives unlimited milk. But the Kamadhenus of Goloka not only give unlimited milk, but their milk, every drop of it, awakens ecstatic love within the heart. And this is just the beginning of the first verse. Across from the deity, there's a little area where Lord Chaitanya sat, found, and read, and discussed the Brahma Samhita. He was so enthusiastic, he copied it. Now these days, you scan it and email it to somebody. But in Lord Chaitanya's time, you had to be serious. They didn't even have paper or pens. They had palm leaves or bark of trees that were processed through various very ancient artistic formulas. Just to get a piece of paper, you had to make it out of bark or leaves by processing it through natural ways. It's not that you just send someone to the store to get a notebook. On palm leaves and parched whatever he was using, and then you carve it in. You carve the letters. Then after you carve the letters, then you get some natural herbs. This is like an ink, and you wipe it over it and smear it, and it makes the letters a color. It's three-dimensional. That's the way the Lord copied the Brahma Samhita. Now we have so many books, and now today's world, you don't even have to go to a bookstore anymore. You just sit home and type in on Amazon or something, and they send you the book right at home. And now you don't even have to do that, because books take up too much space. Now the book just comes, you just do, the book just comes complete, entire books right into your little computer. And now your computer goes into your telephone. You could be riding on a train in Moscow reading the Brahma Samhita. It's all very nice, but the question is, are we any wiser or more realized or knowledgeable than those people who were just copying it by hand on palm leaves? So whatever the form may be, whether it's a palm leaf copy for your own hands, or whether it's coming off a big printing press in a book form, or whether it's through, what is that stuff called? Digital literature. Really doesn't matter. What really matters is our lobha, our eagerness to hear, in whatever form it may come. Lord Chaitanya was tasting the sweetness of the nectar of Brahma Samhita. He was weeping, he was crying, he was chanting, he was dancing as he was reading the Brahma Samhita. And he took that copy with him. And for the remainder of all of his travels of South India, he carried it with him. Finally, he came to Nasik in Maharashtra. And according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, It's the second to last place of Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour described. Then he went back to Vidyanagar, which is today Rajmundry, Kavur, in Andhra Pradesh, specially to visit Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya traveled for 2 years through the southern, eastern, and western parts of India, and he kept 2 books with him, Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita. When the Lord met Ramananda Rai, he gave these 2 books. He told Srila Ramananda Rai that all the wisdom, knowledge, and realizations that you shared with me is fully supported in these 2 books. When Srila Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya read these books together, their hearts were filled with such happiness. Long ago, one of my godbrothers asked me, "Do you know in Prabhupada's books and lectures who he quotes the most?" I said, "Krishna." So he said, "You're probably right about that." But he said, "In my studies," and he did research, he said, "One of the people that he quotes the most is Lord Brahma from Brahma Samhita." Hardly anywhere that Srila Prabhupada or Acharyas do not quote the Brahma Samhita. Because it explains everything in such a succinct, harmonious way. The conclusions. What is the relationship of Krishna and us? What is the relationship between Krishna and Vishnu? What is the relationship between God and demigods? From the path of bhakti, the great personalities like Shiva, Durga, Surya, Ganesh. What is their harmonious, intimate, sweet role together? Ram, Narasingha, Varaha. How they are all in harmony. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And how the whole cosmic manifestation is working and its relationship with the spiritual world. It is all so concisely described in such beautiful Sanskrit poetry by Lord Brahma. And he was just right, he was just revealing to us what he was seeing. And Srila Prabhupada explains the Brahma Samhita was revealed by Brahma at the maturest, ripest form of his self-realization, after being initiated directly by Krishna through the flute. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, millions of people all over the world have received it. Yes, visiting the Adi Keshava temple is a very, very special benediction upon all of us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that all of this knowledge is revealed to the heart that learns how to take shelter of the holy names. even if we're illiterate. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishnavatar. Just as everything is revealed in the Brahma Samhita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything is contained within the names of Radha and Krishna if we chant with sincerity. Thank you very much. I believe there's a performance of devotees from Manipur. Gaurvani Prabhu, could you introduce?
Hare Krishna.
They're all here?
Yes.
When did they come?
They've been here during your lecture for some time. Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for such a wonderful class. We have a little surprise for all the devotees. Would everyone like a surprise? So I happen to be fortunate enough to be staying at the same hotel as this gentleman. He happens to be with a group of 15 artists from Manipur. And for anyone who doesn't know, Manipur is one of the living Vaishnav countries. In fact, as far as I know, it may be the only all Vaishnav country. Because of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, almost every Manipuri grows up knowing how to do drum, kirtan, sankirtan, dancing, pung. So because my wife happens to be a disciple of Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami, who comes from Manipur, I've been blessed with a little bit of love and experience for this culture. So myself and Gauranga Priya Prabhu, we approached this gentleman in his hotel room this afternoon, and we begged him if it would be possible to perform for all the devotees here today, and they graciously agreed. Would you like to say something to this group? Please say something.
Hare Rama.
What do you say? Either way, it works either way. So humbly, we'd like to ask you, because there's so many devotees and this stage is actually not sufficient for their dancing performance, we'd like to humbly ask you to cooperate and give some space within the circle of devotees for this group to come. Gauranga Priya Prabhu will...
No. First 50, first like 15 videos, if they want, they can come on the stage and sit. So they can just play.
Now what about this rope here? They'll do on this
rope can stay there. Matajis can stay there, only the first 15 rows of videos.
So the concern is because there's such a large group of devotees to make sure that everyone can see. So what we're going to do is this area from this side of the rope, just behind the camera, we're making a 20-by-20 space for them. So those devotees who are there, in this space here, if you'd like to come up on the stage so that you can see. If everyone else can just give some space and time as we arrange, we're bringing some carpets for the dancers.
That's a good idea, right?
Good idea. Really good idea.
We can use this carpet also.
No, carpet is there. No, you want to use this space?
It's all...
from here, a few devotees.
No,